2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things..." Excuse me. "All things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So, as we think about these few verses, you know, it looks like Paul's focus is this, that man could be, would be, reconciled unto God. So, by the Word of God, in some of the previous verses, we know this, by the Word of God, spiritually, we were all dead. That's what the Bible says. Now, you know, man, and a lot of people might argue with that, but God told Adam, he said, "In the day that you eat of the fruit of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die." Now, either Adam died or God lied. And we know this, that God cannot lie. So Adam died. So the spiritual part of man is separated from the natural part or the biological part. So Paul said that Jesus died, and that he died for all. So it must have been that all were dead. So man was separated from God. And without salvation through Jesus Christ, we're separated from God today. You know, I thought about this, and I think about it often. I think about how that lots of times you see the church gathered together, and you see a people that cannot participate and cannot enjoy what the church is doing. Wonder why that is. I mean, if we're having an activity or the church is doing something, and you see it's like people are separated from what the body of the church is doing.
Right.
Why is that? Why are people separated from what the church is enjoying? I believe it's this. I believe there's a separation there. Though we're together in body, though we're together as a group of people, our heart and that spiritual part is still separated from God. And if we're separated from God, we're separated from those who God has redeemed through Jesus Christ. We can't participate because our heart can't be united because we're still separated from God. You know, I can't be a part of that I don't know about. You know, it would be hard for me. You know, I see people playing maybe different kinds of games. I see people playing croquet pretty often. There's no way that I can join in that. I know absolutely nothing about playing croquet. Nothing. I would have to be indoctrinated. I would have to learn about that. I would have to be able to understand how that's played before I could ever be a participant. You know, if we're going to be a part of the church, if we're going to be a part of the family of God and enjoy what God is doing, You know, I'm going to have to know something about that.
Right.
And for me to know about that, I'm going to have to be reconciled to God, because the church, not the physical body, but that spiritual body that Paul would call the church or the redeemed or the called out, those people have had an experience with God and have been reconciled unto God through the person of Jesus Christ. So, you know, if I can't enjoy what's going on with the church, I should check and see, have I been reconciled unto God? Why am I unable to enjoy the spiritual part? Now, I could enjoy if the church is going to have a fish fry, if the church is going to have a steak supper, if the church is going to go to Gatlinburg, if the church is going to go to Dollywood, if the church is going to go on a picnic, I could enjoy all of that. But how about when the church is going to praise God? How about when the church is going to study the Word of God? How about when we gather together and there's the worship and the praise to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Can I be a part of that? Not if I'm not reconciled unto God. So Paul says this, and really what I want to focus on is the last verse. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Paul is talking about us being reconciled. How can we be reconciled? So let's walk down through these verses. Verse number 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So who instigated the reconciliation? I ask you this. Was it the offender or the offended? He was offended. I was the offender. Do you know that I had no desire to be reconciled unto God? I had no desire to be reconciled unto God, though I was the offender. He was the offended one, and yet he desires and makes a way that man can be reconciled unto God. It's God. It's Almighty God who initiates the means for me to be reconciled unto him. I mean, you would think if I did Anthony wrong, that it wouldn't be Anthony wanting for things to be fixed between me and him. That it would be me, that I would desire to come to Anthony and say, Anthony, would you forgive me? I did you wrong. I did the wrong thing. I treated you the wrong way. But you know who it is? It's not me seeking after God. It's not mankind seeking after God. It's not man wanting to be reconciled unto God. But we have a picture of it in the Genesis. In the Genesis, when man offends God, you know what he does? He runs and hides and tries to get away from God. Is that man's nature? That is man's nature. It is man's nature to go away from God. But it's God's nature, in his great love wherein he loved us, it was God's nature that he initiate a means. You read that verse? That of God. It was of God. It was, if I could say it maybe in the right way, he was the means. It was God who was the means that brought about the means of reconciliation. He was the origin of God. It originated with God. Reconciliation between you and God will begin with God Almighty starting the relationship. So this is what the Bible says. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. So Paul Paul had this ministry. Paul had this. So if I think about ministry and I think about something to serve, you know what Paul's got to serve? Paul's got on his serving plate. As Paul walks down in Rome or Philippi or Ephesus or Galatia or Laodicea, Paul's got something on his serving tray that he wants to give to the people. And what does he have? He has the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is the means. If man would take Jesus Christ into his heart, Jesus said, "You'll have to eat my flesh and drink my blood." Did he mean that literally? No, ma'am, and no, sir. I don't believe that he meant that literally, but he meant that spiritually, that it was the body of the Lamb of God who was given that I could be reconciled unto God. And Paul said, God has given us the ministry, the serving of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the people, that they could be reconciled unto God. If I'm not reconciled unto God today, what would make me think that I'm going to be reconciled unto God when I leave this world? You know, if I'm unable to be a participant with the spiritual things of the church, who's the Lord coming after? The church. So the Lord's coming after the church. Is that true? What about the rest? Is He coming after the rest? So if I'm not a part of the church, and I don't mean the physical body. I mean the called out. I mean the reconciled unto God. Who was it that called me to reconciliation? It was God. I tell you, it wasn't me. I had no desire. And you know, I heard a man preaching this week in a revival. And you know what he told me? God was dealing with him. And you know what he said in his sermon? I didn't want to be saved. I said, no way. I'm not doing that. I'm not going down that road. I don't want to be a part. I'll tell you, God Almighty is able to change your mind. It was all of God. This is what the Bible says. The Bible said, and all things were of God. What was of God? Reconciliation. Jesus Christ dying. We were all dead. He died for all. It must be that since He died for all, then we were all dead. Was that of God? That was of God as well. We read in the Sunday school this morning that they crucified Jesus. But you know what James said? James said that that was the plan of God. James told us in the Sunday school this morning that it was God's plan that Jesus Christ be crucified. I'll tell you this, you think about how would you reconcile yourself unto God. God had a plan that man could be reconciled unto Himself, and it was God who initiated it. And in the person of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. God gave His life on the cross of Calvary that man could be reconciled unto God. And you know what Jesus said? He said, I didn't come to send peace, but I come to bring division. Boy, I tell you, talk about a divider. The Lord Jesus Christ divides over and over and over again. And I say this in many different ways. He divides between those that are saved and those that are not. He divides between the physical body of the church and those that are really born again. He divides between the living and the dead. He divides families. Here's a man, or here's a young lady that's saved and born again, and their family, many be the time that their family is against them because they life has been changed by God Almighty. They raise up against their own blood kin, their own sister, their own brother, their own son, their own daughter, their own mother and daddy, raise up and bring division. This is the most divisive man that ever has been. But he's the only means of salvation that God has given. So, verse number 18. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by, so there's the means, by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that is, that God was in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That God, I offended God, and God initiated a means for me to be reconciled unto him. But God was, that to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So we're going to have to get rid of these. Or we're going to have to get rid of our sin, of our sidestepping, of our slipping, of our failing to measure up. Are we going to have to get rid of those? I don't believe that I'm going to be able to take my sin and be with God. I believe I'm going to have to get rid of that. So listen to what the Bible says. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, their falling away, their slip, their failure, their sin. God did not, now you think with me, God did not put that on our account. And we're going to get to how that was reconciled, how that was taken care of. But know this, the only way for me to get rid of my sin is for that sin to be paid for. God is so just and so righteous and so holy that he's not going to let any sin slip by. Doesn't matter what my last name is. Doesn't matter what your last name is. Doesn't matter where you go to church or how long you've been in church. God is not going to allow one sin to slip by. I believe Anthony mentioned it this morning. And this might be saying a little bit more than he said. But Jesus said, the law, I didn't come to do away with the law. I come to fulfill the law. And not one jot or one tittle of the law is going to fall to the ground. Jesus Christ is going to fulfill all the law. You know where I found myself sinning? I found myself weeping and sinning because of my failure to meet up to the law. I found that I had no means of being reconciled unto God through the law. No way for me to ever be reconciled or be brought near or brought back into a relationship with God through the law. But listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says to us in verse 19, to wit, that is to say that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now, what kind of a world? A world that loved him? No, ma'am, and no, sir, not a world that loved him. He wasn't reconciling a world that loved him. He was reconciling a world that was against him, a world that hated him, a world that crucified him, a world, even the Apostle Paul, held the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death, and yet God reconciled the Apostle Paul and allowed him to write 13 books of the New Testament. What a reconciliation that it must be that we could be brought back into a favor with God. Now you tell me this. If God could bring back into favor Paul, Saul of Tarsus, maybe as he was known in that time, him killing Stephen, preaching the gospel, God reconciled, brought into favor Paul, Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle, the same man. God reconciled him and brought him into favor through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not putting their reckoning or counting
or charging to the account of the trespassers. Isn't that something? I trespass, and you know what God does? God lays my trespass, my failure, my fault. He laid that on the back of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through and by the sacrifice of the Son of God, I am reconciled unto God through what Jesus did. Can we be reconciled unto God? I tell you, there's nobody. There's no sin. There is no sin that is irreconcilable through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no sin. I don't care how big in your eyes or how little or what size or how dirty that it might be. Through and by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was a mean provided by God for you to be reconciled, to be brought back into favor with God Almighty. Would you like to have the favor of God? You know, America, the United States of America, really doesn't care much about the favor of God today. But isn't it amazing when a 9/11 comes? Isn't it amazing when the war over in Iraq comes? Isn't it amazing when some great tragedy happens? How that America would call on God. I'll tell you, America needs to be reconciled unto God. And friend, America as a whole is rejecting God Almighty left and right and wants nothing to do with God. If it wasn't for the mercy and the favor of God, we'd all be on the road to hell. God is the one that initiated a means for us to be reconciled unto Him. Amen. You know, I believe many be the time America would like to have the favor of God. You would in your life. And here's the thing. When everything's going rosy, everything's going good, we got plenty of money, plenty of good health, everything's going well, we don't think much about God. But I tell you, you let the bottom drop out. You let health come, a health problem, or a tragedy, or our economy, or lose our job, or the marriage fall apart. You let our children go down the road of destruction. You let tragedy and health problems fall on them. You know what we'd like to have? We'd like to have the favor of God. Know this, that we're going out to meet a just and a living God one day. We better have the favor of God today. We better be reconciled unto God today. I'm going to die one day. Do you know when you're going to die? Anybody know when they're going to die? We've got an appointment. You better believe it. I've not seen the appointment book and I haven't got a call. But I know this. I do have an appointment. And I'm going out to meet God. When that appointment, when He calls for that appointment, I'm going out to meet God reconciled or irreconciled. And I want you to know this. You are not irreconcilable. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God there's a means been provided for you to be reconciled unto God. Am I interested today in being reconciled unto God? Most people are not. If things are going well, they're not interested in having the favor of God. They're interested in doing their own thing. But Paul says this. Paul says, He had committed unto us the ministry, unto us the word of reconciliation, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So, where is this? He hath committed unto us. That word there means to be lodged within. You know where Paul's word of reconciliation was? Now, you just think when Paul was ministering. Now, we didn't have Romans. We didn't have 1st and 2nd Corinthians. We didn't have Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. What did he have that he was serving people? Where was it? Within. It was lodged within. That word of reconciliation. Now let's think beyond the natural. What word was that? I believe it was this word. I believe in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I believe that Paul had the Word of reconciliation living within him. You know why people are unable to enjoy the worship and the praise of God? Because God is not living within them. If God were living within them, you know what it'd do? I tell you, it'd be just like the choir. It'd be just like the guitar. It'd be just like the piano. When you hit it right, friend, it would all be in harmony. It would all flow together. It would all sound like it was supposed to. How there wouldn't be anything out of key. And you know why that would be? Because we're all on the same note.
That's right.
You know how our brother starts that song? He takes out that little pitch pipe and hits an E flat. And everybody starts with E flat and goes from there to their part. Jesus Christ is the reconciler of all of us being able to be together. He is the reconciler that brings us into harmony. He is the one that makes it possible that we can worship together, we can praise God together, we can enjoy the study and the meditation of the Word of God together. It was Almighty God through the person of Jesus Christ that brought us back into favor with God. We were dead. Now you tell me, how much praise and worship does a dead man do? Paul says this, He hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation to restore to favor. Reconciliation to restore to favor. Would you like to be favored of God? I believe you would. Whether you want to be saved or not, that may be a different thing, but I believe you'd like to be favored of God. But know this, the only way to be favored of God is to be reconciled. Because I was separated from God. You know what separated me from God? My sins and my transgressions. Just like you. You know what? I tell you what, we were all in harmony on that. We were all on the same note on that. We were all trespassers and sinned against God. Nobody, absolutely nobody, was reconciled unto God outside of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. What did Paul want? I tell you, he wanted people to be in favor with God. You know, that would be my desire today. My desire today would be for you to be in favor with God. My desire today would be for you to enjoy the fellowship, the worship, the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my desire for you today would be in the favor of God. How do you know if we're in favor with God or not? Well, I would think this. If I could see that word in you, I would know that you were in favor with God. If that word is implanted in you, you might say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking about the Spirit. I'm talking about when you're saved, God implants into you that word through the Spirit. That Word of God, that Word that was made flesh, that Word Jesus Christ, that Word of God is implanted in those that are saved. And you know, if I'm unable to enjoy the spiritual worship of the Lord, you know, I ought to look at myself and say, why am I separated? Why am I on the outside? Why am I not able to enjoy what they're enjoying? Why can't I get in on this? Why am I unable to enjoy what the church, why am I unable to enjoy what my wife, why am I unable to enjoy what my husband, why am I unable to enjoy what my son or my daughter, why am I not a part with it? Why can't I link up with what my own family's doing? You're separated from God. You're separated from God. Some of you today, part of your family has been reconciled unto God, and you're on the outside. You're separated from God. You're unable to enjoy the blessings that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ and comes upon the church and upon the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is His body. That's right, the fullness of Him. But we're unable to enjoy that. Now, isn't it amazing that we can enjoy the service, the worship, the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ down here, and yet we think we're going to heaven? We're believing a lie. You know, we ought to really consider our condition. We ought to consider what we enjoy and what we can't enjoy and what we can't even be a part of. I see it. I see people right here that are unable to enjoy what God does. This is what Paul says. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled. So, how can we be reconciled? Paul says this, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Would you say this, that your flesh is weak? I heard our brother say this morning that he could not live up to the law. Is there anything wrong with the law? Absolutely not. Nothing. That came from God. And you know something? If you could live up to it, you could live by it. If you could live up to the law, you could have eternal life by the law. But the truth is, you can't. Paul says in Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What's Paul say in the last verse of this? The last verse, Paul says, for He hath made Him to be sin. Now you think about this, that Jesus Christ was made to be sin. Now was He a sinner? No, He was not a sinner. But I tell you what He did. He took the place of the sinner. My sin and your sin and the sin of the whole world was laid on the back of the Lord Jesus Christ. And think about it like this. I don't believe Paul's mistaken, or I don't believe we need to twist it or wrest the Scripture, but He became sin. I tell you what He did. You know what sin was going to do? Sin was going to bring the payment of death. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ took my sin. He took your sin. He took your sin. And Jesus Christ became sin. And sin's requirement was death. Jesus Christ died the death that sin and the sinner was going to be the recipient of. What he had worked for. What he had earned. The wages. And what he was going to reap. The benefits of his sin, Jesus Christ became sin that you and I might become the righteousness of God in Him. I'll tell you that through Him, through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, man can be reconciled unto God. Man can be set free from his sin. Man can have his sin paid for because Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin. Let's think on that just a little more. So if I look in Hebrews 10 and 5. Let's look in Romans for just another second. Romans 3 and 22. The Bible says this, for even But now the righteousness of the God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22, 3:22 in Romans. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. You know, it doesn't matter my sin. It doesn't matter my last name. It doesn't matter whether I'm a Jew or a Gentile, a Greek, a Scythian, a bond or free. In Jesus Christ, I have the freedom from sin, and I am made righteous through what He has done. He was made sin that you and I might be made the righteousness of God, not righteous by God, but the righteousness of God through Him, or in Him. Paul says this, for all have sinned. Now you just think about the righteousness. He was made sin that you and I might be made the righteousness of God. Romans 3:25. Who God has set forth, this is Jesus Christ, set forth to be a satisfaction, a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness. Now think about the person of righteousness. God is a person. God has a person that is the Word. God has a person that is the righteousness of God. That person is Jesus Christ. So look with me, 3:25. For God has set forth to be a propitiation to satisfy through faith, or an offering, if you want to look at it that way, or an atonement in His blood to declare His righteousness. Now you think with me, God's going to declare His righteousness. You say, well, He's going to hang Jesus Christ on the cross to declare His righteousness and His justice. I'm going to agree with you. But I'm going to say there's more than that. I'm going to say that God is going to put righteousness on the cross. I'm going to say that the righteousness of God is hanging on the cross. The righteousness of God Almighty is hanging on the cross, that you and I, who are sinners, could be made the righteousness of God. I'm going to just have to say it now. I'm a son of God. Whether you want to say I've been born into it, as John said, or you want to say that I've been adopted into it, as Paul said, I am a son of God. And that song we sung, you know what he said down there in that last verse? And I cry, Abba, Father, Abba. Thank God He is my Father, and I am made the righteousness of God in Him. So God put righteousness on display. Not only did He put justice on display, He put righteousness on display as well. I tell you, as you look there and you see Jesus Christ being beaten beyond recognition as a man, there is sin on display. There is the wages of sin, which is death. There is my sin, my iniquity. By His stripes we are healed. There is the justice of God. How can you also hanging there is the righteousness of God.
Now you might argue with that. That'll be all right with me. God's got it settled in my heart. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. You know, I know that's not got a capital R in front of it. But look at the rest of the verse. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. What is Jesus?
Jesus is the justice of God being served. The law and the prophets, every T is crossed, every I is dotted, and He lived it to the T, but He is also the righteousness of God, And we could look at it this way, that God said sin is going to have to be paid for, so he crucified his own son, who is my righteousness. Who is God's righteousness? Look with me a little farther in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And know this, that Jesus Christ, the wages of sin is death. In Hebrews chapter number 2, the Bible said this, we'll get to 10 in just a second. But in Hebrews chapter number 2, the Bible says this, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Do you know what he did? I'll tell you what he did. He on the cross tasted the death, and I'm talking about a death that separated him from God. He became sin. Sin brought about separation. Jesus, the righteous Son of God, took sin upon himself, and he took the place of the sinner that you and I would not have to face death, but he tasted death for every man. He tasted what it would be to be separated from God. Now you remember that? Do you remember from 12 o'clock in the day until 3 o'clock in the afternoon that there was darkness upon all of the face of the world? Do you remember that Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'll tell you why he forsook Jesus, that you and I could be reconciled unto God. Bear with us just another 2 or 3 minutes. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. You know what happened? Jesus Christ was fitted with a body. God was fitted with a body. It was God who initiated reconciliation. And Jesus Christ was fitted with a body that he might reconcile us unto God. And you know, he didn't come to do his will. He came to do the will of the Father, that you and I could be brought back into favor with God. So, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made. So that word means to come into being. It's a different word than he was made up in the earlier part. For he hath made him. That was a different word there. But we, that we might be made, that we might become, that we might be brought into the righteousness of God, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Notice with me, please, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Verse 18. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know where I have to be. Now who am I if I am in him? I'm a child of God. My life is hid away with Christ in God. I am made a child of God if I am in Him. So I want you to think about this. That if that's my position, and that means a position of rest. Can you see that? That my righteousness as a son of God is in Jesus Christ. My hope, I'm really desiring that it might happen. No, my expectation. My confirmed, confident expectation is in Jesus Christ. My confident expectation is a fixed position, is a position of rest. I rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am reconciled unto God by being in Him. You know, these folks, and I don't really know how all of it works, but you know these folks that they have a monarch. You know, they've got a king or a queen. Or, you know, if you're in a family, boy, you're going to step right in line. We're going to have to be in the family of God today.
Yeah.
We're going to heaven. We better be reconciled unto God today. And know this. That He, Almighty God, to wit, to say that it was God in Christ bringing back into favor the world, that we could be reconciled unto God. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Now, John says this. John says in 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, not that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world. You know who I am today? No bragging on me. Thank God I'm bragging on Him. I am as He is. You know who He is? He's the Son of God. You know who I am? I'm a son of God. How in the world can you be a son of God? Because I'm in Him.
That's right.
I'm going to the throne.
Amen.
I'm in the family. Heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's all that's on my heart. Anything you